Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, and this is the 12th hour apostolic service here in Charlie Davis, from outside the 12th hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 15th, 2017, or the 22nd day of the 4th month, 2021. We will start our second service on this Saturday with a song entitled, The Family of Yah. I'm a part of the family of Yah. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined with Yahshua as we travel this song. Oh, I'm part of the family of Yah. You will notice me say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one as a heartache, we all shed the tear and rejoice in His victory and this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of Yah. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined with Yahshua as we traveled this song. But I'm part of the family of Yah. From the door of an orphanage to the house of King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, the pressure belongs. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of Yah. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined with Yahshua as we travel this song. I'm part of the family of Yah. Obey My Voice, Part 2, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, Samuel addresses the people, and Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. Now, here's Samuel giving declaration that he had obeyed the people's voice, and he gave him a king. He said, I've hearkened unto what you wanted, and now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Yahweh and before His anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith, and will restore it unto you. They said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. He said unto them, the Yahweh is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. Samuel said unto the people, it is the Yahweh that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Yahweh of all the righteous acts of the Yahweh, which he did unto you and unto your father. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Yahweh, then the Yahweh sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Yahweh their Elohim, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Yahweh and said, we have sinned, because we have forsaken the Yahweh, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. Now who is Balaam and Ashtaroth today? That are the false prophets of Ahab, the king of Israel. Okay, who is the king of Israel today? The apostatized Israel. The General Conference President of Seventh-day Adventists. Now they no longer recognize him as his voice to the people, but nevertheless they still exist. Okay. And so now, when you come right down to it, though, the prophet with inspiration is the one in charge of the candlestick of the Seventh-day Adventist, of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea. And it just came to me by the inspiration of the Almighty, by the Spirit, that when Brother Johnston came to his end in 2002-2003 at Kermit, Texas, that was Yahweh no longer regarded the Adventists as his people anymore. And Brother Johnson failed as the last prophet of inspiration for the Adventist church, sent to them, gave them the most that they'd gotten from any prophet before. Brother Johnson delivered unto them the complete full package of the restoration of the sanctuary. And when he had 33 years to teach this to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but he taught it off and on through the years. But if he had really published Yahweh's government, he could have got it into the hands of every Adventist that would read it over that 33 years. But he did get the creation count in their hands for the first 7 years, from 1970 to 77. He did get the creation count every year in the Adventist hands where it counted, and especially the leadership and the conference presidents. He did get it into their hands. So he did deliver his soul, but I'm just saying, he could have published Yahweh's government a lot more fully for the full 33 years that he was there. But Brother Johnson, after a few years of laboring to teach this to the Adventists and get it to them as a witness against them, if they rejected it, then he settled on his knees out in Kermit, Texas. He said, well, I've delivered my soul. I mean, really, I'm retired back here to my old home where I grew up. He said, I left it here, paid for it, so I'm back home. And I'm out in the desert, and I've grown old now. I've gotten old in years. So therefore, he settled on his knees. That is Zephaniah chapter 1. And he said, well, the Yahweh won't do good, nor will he do evil to me if I don't do any more. But that's where he was wrong. And so, folks, we can all make that mistake if we become complacent with our comfort zone. And we should never arrive at a comfort zone. Never, never. In the business of promoting the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Nobody that's put in charge of the candlestick should ever, ever become lackadaisical and self-satisfied and settled on his leaves and saying, well, Yahweh is the one that gives the results anyway. I mean, you know, he knows where the honest people are at, and he knows how to call them by the Spirit, and he knows this and he knows that. Yeah, he does. He knows how to save to the utmost. But he expects you to do your part. Okay. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 11. And Yahweh sent Zerubbabel, Baal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemy on every side, and you dwell safe. And when you saw that Naash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, and the Yahweh your Elohim was your king. Now watch this. This is not Yahweh your Elohim. This is Yahshua, his son. Now, I'm going to read that again. But when you saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Yahshua, your Savior, was your king. Now, isn't this amazing? Only Samuel knew this. The rebellious children of Israel did not know that Yahshua the Son was already their king, ruling over them, through Samuel. How readest thou? Now it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. I know I read it to you earlier, and I read it where it was this Lord. I translated that into the Father. But let me tell you what, this is Yahshua. And I'm going to read it to you now. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. And Yahshua said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, when you keep in mind that Yahweh the Father gave this earth and all of its fullness thereof into the hands of his Son after Adam and Eve sinned and fell into sin. Because that's what the battle was over in heaven, was between Lucifer and the Son. Lucifer was jealous of the Son and his position, and he wouldn't accept Yahshua as being over him. And he rebelled against it, and that's what caused his fall in heaven with all the third of the angels. But because he wouldn't accept the Son, Yahshua. Well, here it is right here. And so it translated right on down to this earth. The people would not accept the Son no matter. Cain, outside the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned, when Cain was born, then Cain, he would not accept Yahshua either. Because when Cain rejected the blood offering that pointed to the blood of Yahshua, he rejected that. That means he rejected his Redeemer, his benefactor, which was Yahshua the Son. So keep that in mind. Many times it shows where somebody has rejected the blood offering that they rejected the Son, because the blood offering comes through the Son. Now, for cross reference in Judges 8:23, it says, and Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Yahshua shall rule over you. That's the Son. So them people in the Old Testament, they was well aware of the Yahshua being their benefactor, being their Redeemer by his blood. Because that's what they was taught from the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve fell into sin outside the garden. They had to bring their first sacrifice on the day that they sinned. It was a blood sacrifice. And they were taught that that represented the blood of Yahshua. And so they were taught the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua at the garden gate, at the east gate of the garden on day one after Adam and Eve sinned. At the 3 o'clock hour in the afternoon, the ninth hour, our time, 3 p.m. The world time, that is when the first sacrifice with the blood pointed to the sacrifice of Yahshua for the redemption of the whole human race. And it had to start right there, because that blood was first offered to Cain, the firstborn of Adam and Eve. First offered to him, because he was the firstborn. But it was offered to Abel, his younger brother, when he came along. But it was first available for Cain, the firstborn. And it made available for everyone that was born after that on the face of this earth. But it always pointed to the Son, not the Father. That's what the Father created the Son for. Was to be a propitiation for the sins of mankind here on earth and be their benefactor and redeeming them by his blood for those that follow the commandments to do so. Alright. So now we're continue on with our study. It says that in verse let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Yahweh give Israel a king. The Father said, gives Israel a king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, Yahweh has set a king over you. Okay, now this is the Father. It's like he set Yahshua, his son, over them first, and they wanted a replacement. So they set Saul in the place of Yahshua. Saul represents Lucifer. Okay, so the people would rather have Lucifer ruling over them than they would want to have Yahshua the Savior ruling over them. If you will fear the Yahweh and serve him and obey his voice, is that obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Yahweh, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Yahweh your Elohim. But if you will not obey the voice of the Yahweh, but rebel against the commandment of the Yahweh, then shall the hand of the Yahweh be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Yahweh will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Yahweh, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of Yahweh, and asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Yahweh, and the Yahweh sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Yahweh and Samuel. Now all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Yahweh thy Elohim, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. So now, we know that this is the Father now dealing with King Saul and the children of Israel. We know it's not the Son, Yahshua, because they had earlier rejected the Son. And they have chosen one in their favor, King Saul. What happened at the crucifixion? The Pharisees, nay, says, give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a thief, and he was a murderer, and he was claiming to be the Messiah. But they knew he wasn't the Messiah, and they were sure that Yahshua was not the true Messiah. But Yahshua was the one that did all these miracles, and that they couldn't deny, and so they would rather get rid of him. Somebody that was a reprover unto them. His very life was a reprover unto them. And so they got rid of Yahshua and chose Barabbas. Well, they got rid of Yahshua under Samuel and chose King Saul, a devil. Well, they chose Barabbas, a devil, over Yahshua, and so forth. Verse 20, then Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following Yahweh, the servant of Yahweh with all your heart, and turn ye not aside from them, should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit, nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Yahweh will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Yahweh to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, Yahweh forbid that I should sin against the Yahweh and ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Yahweh and serve him in the truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Saul's disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, that Israel also was had in the abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul unto Gilgal. And the Philistines gave themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people, as the sand which is on the seashore and multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in the cave, and in the thickets, and in the rocks, and in the high places, and in pits. Then some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gave themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto Yahweh. I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. Oh yeah. King Saul forces himself. He forced himself to disobey Yahweh's command as well. Saul's kingdom will not endure. This is verse 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13. And Samuel said unto Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Yahweh the Elohim, which he commanded thee. For now would Yahweh have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yahweh has sought him a man after his own heart, and Yahweh has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Yahweh commanded thee. And Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash, and the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth unto Ophrah, unto the land of Shaul. And another company turned away unto Beth Horon. And another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zibeon, toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of the battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. End of chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to unto the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side, but he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Yahweh's priest in Shiloh, were in an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinna. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said unto the young men that bare his armor, or the young man, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Yahweh will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Yahweh, if saved by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come unto thee, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Yahweh hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearers and said, come up unto us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Yahweh hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before the Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land. which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field, and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah and Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of Yahweh, for the ark of Yahweh was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country, rode round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So Yahweh saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. Saul's curse, verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies, so none of the people tasted any food. Okay, and it says, and all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if happy the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For had there not been such a greater slaughter among the Philistines. So see, King Saul, because his own ego, his own fleshly ego, puffed up, he just everything he said and did just kept the blessing from Israel. And verse 31, and they smote the Philistines that day from Michmash unto Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep, and oxen, and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. And they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against Yahweh, and that they eat with the blood. And he said, ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat, and sin not against Yahweh, and eat him with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him at night, and slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto Yahweh. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Yahweh. And Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by the night, and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto Yahweh. And Saul asked counsel of Yahweh, shall I go down after the Philistines, which wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel? But he answered him not that day. And Saul said, draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin hath been this day. For as the Yahweh liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But there was not a man among all his people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, be ye on one side, and I and Jonathan my son will be on the other side. And the people said unto Saul, do what seemeth good unto thee. Therefore Saul said unto Yahweh Elohim of Israel, give a perfect lot. And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between me and Jonathan my son. And Jonathan was taken. And Saul said unto Jonathan, tell me what thou hast done. And Jonathan told him and said, I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die. And Saul answered, Yahweh do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who has wrought this great salvation in Israel? Yahweh forbid. As Yahweh liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he has wrought with Yahweh this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, that he died not. And Saul went up from falling the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. Saul's kingdom. So Saul took the kingdom over Israel, and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, and against the children of Ammon, and against Edom, and against the king of Zobah, and against the Philistines, and whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered an host. Now it is amazing, it says that King Saul fought against Moab, Ammon, Edom, and against the kings of Zobah. All of these, Moab, Ammon, they are kinfolks to Abraham, because they're the descendants of Lot the Hebrew. Lot was a nephew to Abraham. Today, Ammon translates into the Adventist church. Ammon translates into the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, and Moab also. Moab translates into Carmel and Gilead. Ammon, Edom translates into Bashan, the Adventist church proper. And then against the kings of Zobah. Okay. And so today, Brother Johnson represented antithetical King Saul. And who did Brother Johnson fight against? He fought against Esau. Even though he was playing an antithetical Esau's role, he fought against the kingdom of Esau. Even though he witnessed unto them, the kingdom of Esau was Edom, and that's the Adventist church. Brother Johnson not only witnessed to them, but he fought against them. He fought against the Moabites and the Ammonites. Also, the Davidians. The Rodents. The Rodents was classified as these Moabites. And these Ammonites was classified like Davidians. And Brother Johnson represented the Branch Davidians of Gilead Center, and he fought also against me and anybody else that disagreed with him at Gilead Center. He fought against them. So Brother Johnson was at war with everybody. He was at war with the Adventist Church, with the Davidians, with the Shepherd Rod, 1930-70. He was at war with all of them. He was at war with himself. The only body he trusted in counsel was his wife. Her counsel was the only counsel he trusted in. He didn't trust in the counsel of the scriptures, or of the rod, or of anybody. He just trusted in his own wife. So in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 48, and he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites, and delivered Israel out of the hands of them that spoiled them. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan, and Ishua and Melchishua, and the names of his two daughters were these: the name of the firstborn Merab, and the name of this younger Michal, and the name of Saul's wife was Noam, daughter of Ahimaaz, and the name of the captain of his host was Abner, the son of her Saul's of Ner, the Saul's uncle, and Kish was the father of Saul, and Ner the father of Abner. The father of Abner was the son of Abiel. And there was a sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. When Saul saw that any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. Saul rejected for disobedience. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, Yahweh sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people of Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Yahweh. Thus saith the Yahweh of the host, I remember that when Amalek did unto Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and sucking ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came into a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king over king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, he was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Yahweh, I have performed the commandment of the Yahweh. And Samuel said, What meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Yahweh has said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of the Israel, and the Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel? And the Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yahweh, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Yahweh? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. That the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, the sacrifice unto Yahweh the Elohim in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying of the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected thee for being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Yahweh and thy word, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. There you have it. Saul obeyed the people's voice. Finally admitted it, that he obeyed the people's voice, which was a lie. That was an excuse. He did it on purpose, because in his heart he wanted to save the king, Allah of Agag, and he wanted to save the best of the spoils. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Yahweh. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not turn with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, and the Yahweh hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, Yahweh hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given unto a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Yahweh the Elohim. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Yahweh. Now Saul only worshipped the Yahweh. He would not acknowledge the Son. That's the reason he's a king over Israel. The children of Israel didn't want anybody to be king over them that acknowledged Yahweh's choice of a king. That was his own son, Yahshua. You need to understand this. Then said Samuel, verse 32, Bring ye hither unto me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, Surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, As thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Yahweh in Gilgal. And Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house unto Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Yahweh repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Well, yeah, Samuel died shortly after that. He was dead before Samuel, and before Saul had his last battle and died. Okay, that ends chapter 15. We'll just go right on in now to chapter 16. And David anointed as king. Now watch this. The people rejected Saul. I mean, they rejected Yahshua to be their king through Samuel. So now we have Yahweh's personal anointing of David to take King Saul's place. And David is very well acquainted with Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. So David accepts the Father and the Son. Now do you understand here in the New Testament and over in the Epistles of John where he says those that have believes on the Son, believes also on the Father, and those that believe on the Father and the Son together, then they are blessed. Those that don't, they are cursed. We've had that all down through the ages, folks. Okay, verse 16. It says, chapter 16. David anointed his king, and the Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee unto Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided thee a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. Yahweh said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice unto Yahweh, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Now here's Samuel. He knows how bad King Saul is. He knows that King Saul wouldn't hesitate to kill him. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which Yahweh spake, and came unto Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me unto the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Yahweh's anointed is before him. But the Yahweh said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Yahweh seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Yahweh looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, now that hath the Yahweh chosen it. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, now that hath the Yahweh chosen it. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Yahweh hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, every man is yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Well, we have that same spirit of David right here in our midst, and that we have the truth and are proclaiming it, and Yahweh is with us. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, David's music refreshes Saul. We're going to learn something about this wonderful music of ancient time, and about frequencies that heal. But the spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Yahweh troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from Yahweh troubles thee. Let our Yahweh now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from Yahweh is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servant, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him unto me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty, a violent man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Yahweh is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David unto his son, David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent unto Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. It came to pass when the evil spirit from Yahweh was upon Saul that David took an harp and prayed with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now this is the beauty part about learning about music today. The music that we have today is programmed wrong. It's got wrong frequencies. It's got negative frequencies. We have information on how to correct these frequencies and cause them to be healing frequencies onto our bodies. So we have that. We have in possession of these healing frequencies, some of them, not all of them. Okay, that's the end of chapter 16, and we're getting close to the end of our study for this hour, it looks like. So anyway, I'll tell you what are we learning? We are learning that Yahweh is teaching us about Yahshua, his son, that he appointed king over his people, starting at the Garden of Eden. So, Adam lost his crown, but Yahshua took that position of Adam, the first king of this world. And so Yahshua held that position, and he's always held that position as the king over Israel. But because of the people wanting a king, a fleshly, invisible king to rule over them and not the invisible king, then Yahweh has allowed then kings to sit upon the throne, everlasting throne of David, and until the end of time. And so, well, this brings us to the last day. So you can contact us at the 11th hour call, number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Take the name of Yahshua with you.
Take the name of Yahshua with you. Shout of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Curse his name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, take the name of Yahshua ever, as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name and prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, oh, the precious name of Yahshua, how it thrills our soul with joy, when his loving heart receiveth, and his sons are tongues and boy, precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, as the name of Yahshua bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings of heaven will come. And our journey is complete.